Yesterday, we celebrated Easter. Today, we continue that celebration here on Abounding Grace Radio.
He desires today that you would believe the resurrection, that Jesus has accomplished this for you. You have to understand it. You have to understand what that means and all that comes with that. But I'm praying that by the time we're done, if you've ever struggled with whether Jesus is really for you, that this passage will be a great help to you today as we come and look at Thomas.
There has never been a more grace-drenched, hope-filled story than that of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not just story, it's history. It is current history that still has a profound effect on any who would listen and take to heart. Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio. Pastor Chris Gordon will take us right into John chapter 20 today. It's there that we meet the Lord of life and his interaction with Thomas. Here's Pastor Chris.
Beginning at verse 19, this is the word of the Lord. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. And there we'll end the reading of God's word. Well, today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And I want us to think a little bit about today why this is so important and what this is all about, what Jesus is after from us as we celebrate the resurrection. Martin Luther once said something that I think is so helpful in this question, in this connection, when he said, "It is not enough to believe that Christ has risen from the dead, because neither peace nor joy, power nor might follow. But I must believe that the resurrection happened for me, so that I delight that my own sin and death are overcome here. This is true faith." That's a remarkable statement, isn't it? It's not just enough to be here today and say, "Well, I believe in the resurrection." You have to believe in that resurrection that it is for you. That is a very important truth. And that is something that no doubt we see with Thomas. This was a great problem. He did not believe in the resurrection, period, and certainly not that it was for him. What we have here before us then is a description of Jesus's desire, if you will, that as his work is accomplished, as he has come down to fulfill the work given to him by his Father, how ridiculous it is for people not to believe this. Just ridiculous. And here particularly, it's so ridiculous because they forfeit, and I want you to see this here, they forfeit the happiness that is intended to be theirs in the resurrection. You see, we just go through this every year and we don't think about how blessed we are and what it really has done for us in making us a happy people. And I want you to think about that a little bit with me today. I doubt there are few here today who deny the resurrection, that say, I just don't believe in the resurrection. I bet there's few who would ever say that today. But that's a far different thing to say that everyone here today, do you believe that the resurrection is for you? And do you believe that the gospel is for you? Do you believe that this was done for you? When you believe it's for you, there are real changes that happen. And I don't think we should ever minimize that. There are real changes that happen. He desires today that you would believe the resurrection, that Jesus has accomplished this for you. You have to understand it. You have to understand what that means and all that comes with that. But I'm praying that by the time we're done, if you've ever struggled with whether Jesus is really for you, that this passage will be a great help to you today as we come and look at Thomas. Jesus is now appearing to his disciples after the resurrection, and things have changed now that he has risen. You can't help but to see that here, that he now has a great purpose in appearing to them. He is making, in this particular text, their joy complete. It's really beautiful. That the big purpose here, in light of that, as he is giving them great joy, he is really concerned that as he's about to leave and be seated on the throne in heaven, he is concerned that this ministry of joy, this ministry of gospel will continue in the earth. And that all, as we've been studying in Acts, all the priorities would be maintained. So here we are again, and you can't help but ask, well, what kind of ministry was on Jesus' mind as he rose from the dead? What is he really thinking about, and what does he care about? I think we have to answer that and look at that and think about that, because it's a big moment then in the Gospels as he speaks to his disciples. It's crucial for his disciples to understand what he's after as he goes away, and it's crucial, right, why he explains it for us. We have three scenes in front of you here today in John's Gospel in that section that I read. The appearance first of Jesus to his disciples minus one, you'll notice. His explaining to them what is the design of the ministry. You'll notice that here. The second scene is the disciples beginning to practice this ministry. And the third scene is Jesus confirming this ministry. So this is a wonderful section to understand and actually apply and think about everything that we've been studying. If you are a visitor here, we've been working through the books of Acts, and we're almost done with Acts. We're in chapter 28. We're seeing here why the disciples, now apostles in Acts, were so committed to certain things in the ministry, and this is it. I want you to look at verse 19 today as we begin and look into this section. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." He stood in their midst. Rumors are everywhere, of course, that Jesus has been raised, and the disciples are in great fear about this. They are worried about the consequences of this. They're thinking about, could this be? They're having all these mixed emotions about everything. They're having a giant council meeting about this. And at this moment, Jesus enters the room. Notice here, the doors were locked. He miraculously appears in the room. The beautiful thing to notice here is the first thing he does is pronounce peace. Jesus came and stood among them, and he opens his mouth, and the first words that we find here to them are, "Peace be with you." It's really beautiful. It really is. When he had said this, he then showed them his hands. Remember, boys and girls, the big nails that went there? And then he showed them his side. We looked at Friday night with the sword that pierced and water and blood came out. And immediately when the disciples saw this, we read, they were happy. Can you imagine this? The Lord was risen from the dead. And now standing in front of them, here he is pronouncing peace. And with a few words, all of their distresses, all of their pain, all of their agony is put out. Sorrow came in the night, but joy has come in the morning. This is the application of that. Peace be with you. This was a particular blessing that the Hebrews would give by saying, may you be cheerful. May you be happy. May you be a prosperous people. That was the intention of Christ after the resurrection, that they would be a happy people, a joyful people, not a people who were always grumbling and not a people who were always having their face in the dirt, but a people joyful and happy over what he's done for them. I often think we struggle a little bit with the emotions of Jesus. We don't really read about emotions, do we? Part of the reason we don't read about emotions is because Jesus told us how distressed he was until his work was accomplished. And all of what we study about Jesus in the Gospels was under the great weight of going to the cross. We're not getting a lot of emotion, but a very serious Jesus because he has to die for you. Do you think he's like that now? Do you think when he said peace, there was no emotion to that? Do you think there was real on our Savior, our risen Savior, happiness to say to his disciples, look, look, look what I've done for you. It's done. Peace. I want you to have peace. This world doesn't have peace. Who has peace? You just need 2 minutes of the news to realize nobody has peace. The resurrection meant a victory is accomplished. Everything that was needed to be done to bring them joy and happiness and forgiveness and peace was done. And notice that in a moment, they are a happy bunch. They're filled with happiness. That's what the resurrection has done for you today. Really, this is an important section for you. I mean that. I don't know what you're facing in life, and I'm sure many people are going through many things here, and you carry many things in right now, and many burdens and many hardships, and I want you to know that the resurrection has answered them all. What has Christ's resurrection done for you? First, Heidelberg, by his resurrection, he's overcome death. How many people are trying to fight to hold on to this life and keep themselves alive at all costs because they fear death? He's taken that sting away from you. It's gone. You don't have to fear it. Second, by his power, you're a brand new creature. He set you free. You're no longer under the condemnation of the law when the law says do this and live. When you have to stand there on judgment day, you have a perfect Savior who's lived for you and died for you and rose for you, and his whole life covers you. And third, his resurrection is a guarantee of our glorious resurrection. I find still Christians don't understand that. Your bodies, your very bodies, you can grab it, are getting out of the ground one day, no matter what happened to you. This is what it means. And it's brand new, raised with explosive power, like his body. So while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. He has reconciled you to God. He's beat death for you. He's given you a brand new life. He's giving you new bodies. You're assured of your future glory, making everything new again. That's what you're celebrating. That's the resurrection. Peace. Peace. That's the greatest amount of happiness. But it even gets better. What Jesus is concerned about now that he's raised and going to be seated and the Spirit's coming is that people need to know this. The people in the world need to know this. It's as if we're in the locked room with him that day. This is a very private meeting, and John is recording it for us to read. And who in the world today cares about this? Doors are locked. Here we are. We get insight into what he cares about. He now turns to the whole design of Christian ministry. Shouldn't be unfamiliar to any of us who've been listening to Acts. I have to say, this is the most exciting moment after the resurrection, right here, right now. In verse 21, Jesus said to them, peace to you. as, notice this, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Now, what did he just do? Well, he just commissioned, if you will, the entire Christian ministry. As the Father sent me, so I'm sending you to do what? What did the Father send Jesus to do? The Father sent Jesus to go out, of course, and lay down his life and die and rise again. And we don't do that to pay for people's sins because it's already been done. That's what Jesus did. So what are we doing? We're doing and making that known. Jesus went to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And you'll remember in Mark 5, he said, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because that's why I've come. I've come. I've got to preach. I've got to go through all the villages and all the places and preach the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. That's what we're doing today. It's still going on after all these years. With all the social media and technology, with all the Passion of Christ movies, this is where the power is. And we're still doing it. Nobody would come listen to a fool like me if I had made this up. I promise you. This is the Lord's ministry. All across this earth today, our church is set up preaching the gospel. You don't just do that in this world when you've got the best technology. Glad tidings to you through a spoken word. Now, the beauty of this before you is that Jesus just made that same purpose something he would always continue until he comes again. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness, then the end will come. When it reaches everywhere, and all my people hear and are saved. He looks at his disciples and he says, after the resurrection, now in the power of my resurrection, I'm sending you. To do what? Well, it seems verse 23 is the heart of it, isn't it? If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. What a verse. Jesus just laid out the goal of gospel ministry. You know their goal was to bring about forgiveness of sins. The main purpose of why we're here and what we're doing is the unconditional, conditioned on Jesus' work, but not on our work, unconditional on our part. We don't do anything to deserve it. Forgiveness of all of your sins in life. Think about that. We just hear it so much. Do you know what you've done? And what the Lord is commissioning here by sending them was saying, as you go throughout all the world preaching the gospel of the kingdom, I want you to have this one great aim always in front of you. It is to pronounce forgiveness in my name. It is to have the root there of that great goal, the purpose of bringing forgiveness so that you would know that as Jesus has, I have given you peace, that you would give this peace to all who believe and you'd announce it. I don't know what you've done in the course of your life. I don't really care to know. But I know this, if God ran a video of it and all that was brought out into the public sphere, there's no Instagram where things disappear or whatever it is. I probably have the wrong one. I'm already old on this stuff. He doesn't lose track of anything. If he had played a video of your life up to this point, you'd be mortified and horrified. And so would everyone else. All those hidden things and those things that haunt you still and that you feel great guilt over. And I know it's for boys and girls too, right now. I know you experience it, the guilt. Here's the sad truth. Here's the really sad truth today. There are countless people, not only in the world, but sitting in churches who still don't have forgiveness. And the reason they are is they're not content with the kind of peace Jesus is offering them. And you see, at this moment, Jesus breathes on them, really taking us back to creation and all the creative works that have ever been done by God. He breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit, all in anticipation of what is to come at Pentecost. But he puts together the sending of the Spirit and then the forgiveness of sins so that nobody would ever think that when pastors stand up and declare this stuff, it's just a human word. It's just Chris Gordon up here today with his little fine insights and I could just go home and yawn. That's not what this is. The heart of this, notice, and what I'm sending you to accomplish is the breaking down of hard hearts to shatter pride, to conquer unbelief, so that people can have peace. You know, that's why ministry is so difficult, right? Some people just don't want to hear, and they'll do anything they can to avoid hearing. They avoid hearing the message at the heart of this, that their sins can be forgiven. And to do it rightly, you have to preach with conviction, right? To do it rightly, there has to be at times real confrontation. Nobody wants that today. There has to be told that you need to turn from things, that there's an end to you, that you have to die to yourself. Sometimes people get angry when they're confronted about sin. Isn't it amazing what Jesus says here? If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. Now, this is apostolic. If not, they are not. That truth, though, still stands. In other words, I declare as a pastor that anyone who believes the gospel and looks to Jesus, this truth the Holy Spirit declares through his servants, all of your sins are forgiven.
And so, as we celebrate the risen Lord, an empty tomb, the Father's amen to the Son's it is finished, we are reminded again of the glorious gospel that is handed out from this empty tomb. Well, Pastor Chris will be back in just a moment to close out our time together today, but I would like to leave you with our contact information. If you wish to get a hold of us for any reason at all, we'd love to hear from you. One of the things that really excites us about being on the air on a regular basis is the fact that we get to interact with you. It's not just us doling out a half hour of ministry, as it were. No, we desire the relationship between you and us. It's a two-way relationship we look forward to, not a one-way relationship. All right, here's how you get in touch with us if you wish to contact us for any reason at all. The best place to start would be our website, agradio.org. A good amount of resource materials available, as well as past radio programs you may have missed if you wish to listen to them again. Again, agradio.org, and it's there that you can also leave us an email. Now, if you have a question for Pastor Chris, simply take your voice memo app on your smartphone, record that question, your name and where you're calling from, and then email that voice memo to questions@agradio.org. Now, if Pastor Chris answers your question on the air, we'll make use of that and we'll let you know through an email when that airs. Again, questions@agradio.org. Otherwise, reach out to us by phone, 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Well, as we close out our time together today, we want to look back. Normally, we kind of look forward or have a prayer for you at the close of our program with Pastor Chris, but he mentioned something early on in the program today that bears repeating, so we're going to do just that and give you some food for thought to close out our time today. Once again, here's Pastor Chris.
We struggle a little bit with the emotions of Jesus. We don't really read about emotions, do we? Part of the reason we don't read about emotions is because Jesus told us how distressed he was until his work was accomplished. And all of what we study about Jesus in the Gospels was under the great weight of going to the cross. We're not getting a lot of emotion, but a very serious Jesus because he has to die for you. Do you think he's like that now? Do you think when he said peace, there was no emotion to that? Do you think there was real on our Savior, our risen Savior, happiness to say to his disciples, look what I've done for you. It's done. Peace. I want you to have peace. This world doesn't have peace. Who has peace? You just need 2 minutes of the news to realize nobody has peace. The resurrection meant a victory is accomplished. Everything that was needed to be done to bring them joy and happiness and forgiveness and peace was done. And notice that in a moment, they are a happy bunch. They're filled with happiness. That's what the resurrection has done for you today.
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. What an amazing truth to reflect on and consider today as we remember once again an empty tomb and a risen Savior. Thank you for joining us here today on Abounding Grace. It is our earnest prayer that you have been encouraged in your walk and relationship with Christ. And we do look forward to seeing you next time we get together, when we will continue our look at John chapter 20 and focus on doubting Thomas. That's next time here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.